my heart for Mexico. I began to have these powerful dreams, preaching in front of great multitudes the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's been a long journey for me, close to 30 years. I didn't know how this was going to be, how this was going to happen, or when. But God is faithful. And again, we're leaving, going back to Mexico this 2 weeks of June, my wife and I, to continue the preparations for us. Our prayer and our goal is that by September of this year, we are going to move, my wife and I, to Mexico. For my wife, the same thing. It's over 30 years when somebody prophesied for her that there was a ministry awaiting for her. So she's been waiting also over 30 years for this to come to pass. Now the question is for us, for you. If you are saved, if you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, what is the calling that the Lord have upon your life? Because this calling comes from the Lord. And this morning, we're going to study from the Gospel of John chapter 17. And I also want to thank you for all of your prayers. I know you've been praying for my wife and for myself. And I know also that you've been praying for Mexico. Mexico needs Jesus Christ. Mexico needs to hear the gospel of grace. Mexico needs to know Jesus. Mexico needs God. And I just want to thank you for your faithful prayers on behalf of Mexico. Please continue to pray for us. Please, I ask and I beg you, please continue to pray for Mexico. Every time I go to Mexico and I share Christ with family and friends, I always like to say to them that the reason why Mexico is in such a bad shape is because we have turned our backs on the Lord. I wish I knew Jesus in my childhood. I would avoid so many painful experiences in my life. But I never knew who Jesus Christ was. For my first 16 years of existence, for my first 22 years of existence, I never knew. There was no one there to tell me about Jesus. Well, I don't want that to continue to happen to the people of Mexico. I want to come in the name of the Lord and deliver the message that Mexico so desperately needs. I want you to open your Bibles in the Gospel of John chapter 17. This is the most beautiful prayer. This is the most beautiful chapter in the Bible, personally speaking. This is my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. When we come and see and read and study how Jesus prayed to the Father, it's just such a beautiful prayer. Do you want to see the heart of God? Do I want to see what God thinks and feels? How God prays? This is the chapter that you want to go and see how Jesus Christ prayed. The most beautiful prayer. And in this chapter, I have taken 10 examples from this chapter that I want to share with you this morning. 10 examples to follow. And every one of them, we're going to find the words, I have. I also, I have. Those words we're going to find in our verses this morning. We're going to be back and forward throughout this chapter. So I ask that you bear with me. But 10 examples, that's what we're going to look at this morning. You don't need to turn there, but let's bow our heads and pray. And then we go right to the first verse on our Bible. Father, we thank you, God, again for your word, for your written word. Lord, thank you for Jesus. God, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for your word. Speak to us this morning, Lord. And God, direct us to the places, peoples, God, where you want us to minister to. whom you want us to minister to. We know that you have already sent us out, Lord. So, Father, give us ears to hear, Father, and heart to receive your word, Lord. And help us, Lord, not to be hearers of your word only, but, Father, give us the strength and the desire to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You don't need to turn there, but 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, we read, "For to this you were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Christ, Jesus, was our perfect example on how to please our Father in heaven. And that's what we're going to do this morning. Let's look at these 10 examples to follow. And I want you to go with me to verse 18 of chapter 17. And this is what we read in verse 18. "As you had sent me into the world," Jesus Christ, the Bible said, that was sent from heaven to earth. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And that is the reason why God sent his Son. Jesus' mission was to lead lost sinners into a personal relationship with the Father. That was his mission. So we read again, "As you sent me into the world," Jesus is speaking to the Father in his prayer. And the second part is, "I also have sent them into the world." Jesus Christ came, laid down his life. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, and this is love. Not that we love God. See, this did not start with us. It started in the heart of the Lord. It started in the heart of the Father. But that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, we read, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who," Paul is speaking, "of whom I am chief." That was the mission of Jesus Christ. I also have sent them into the world. We read in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus is speaking, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go. You know, you and I, this is a personal thing. This is something that you are to discover with the Lord, where you need to go. I know where I have been sent by the Lord. The moment I gave my life to him, something happened that wasn't there before. To be honest with you, before I know Jesus, I care less for my nation. I care less for my people. But he changed that around. It's the love of God in our hearts that now causes us to see life different. And that is the reason why I'm going, because God says, go. And I choose to go, to be obedient to the Lord. I don't know where your calling is. As a matter of fact, I don't even know what your gifting is. You know, that's between you and the Lord to discover those things. It's between you and the Lord. He came to save you. He came to save us. Now it's up to us, and we're going to learn that this morning. "Therefore, go and make disciples." That is the command. That is the go and make disciples. Brothers and sisters, that is the reason why you and I are here. That's the number one reason for us to be here. Remember, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We're just passing by. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them. See, that's where we come in. We're going to go and teach these people the word of God. Amen. I have spoken to some, even my co-workers. Some of them are from my hometown. And one of them asked me, so what are you going to do? It doesn't look too good. I said, no, it doesn't. But I'm going to preach the word. I'm just going to preach the word of God. And the word of God will not return void. It's a guarantee. It's going to make an effect in the hearts of everyone who hears it. Either positive to come to Jesus or the opposite to that. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, God has not promised us a life without troubles, without trials. Sometimes you and I are going to go to the valleys of death, of shadow and death. We're going to go through those valleys sometimes. But one thing we cannot forget, brothers and sisters, is that Jesus has promised that he will be with us. Isn't that sufficient? Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough for you and for me, knowing that Jesus will keep his promise and that he will be with us all the way until the end? So example number one, Jesus came, verse 18. He was sent by the Father into the world in the same way. Example number one, he has sent us out into this world. So now, please follow me to verse 4 of the same chapter. And we read, I have glorified you on the earth. See, we are commanded to go out and to teach everything that Jesus Christ has commanded us to teach. And in the process, as we are obedient to the Lord, as we do exactly what the Lord has called us to do, we will glorify the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord will be glorified. How many will come? For your obedience and my obedience, many will come and worship our King, worship our God. And that's how the name of the Father is going to be glorified here on the earth. There is another reason why here the name of God is glorified. Jesus said, the second part of this verse, I have finished the work. You know, God does not leave things halfway like sometimes I do. That's not the character of God. What he begins, he will finish it. And we see that on our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to follow his example. We are to follow his steps. He finished the work. He did not leave that halfway. I have finished. And by him finishing the work that God has commanded him to do, or has sent him to do, the name of God was glorified. How did that happen? Look at you and me. As I was worshiping this morning and I see all the hands raised and voices, that's worshiping and magnifying and glorifying the name of the Lord. Jesus finished his work. Now the question to you and I is, are we committing our lives to finish God's work? Are you committing yourself to finish and to allow the Holy Spirit to finish that work in you, and at the same time, to do the work that God has called us to do? God is glorified when we finish the work he has sent us to do. John chapter 19, verse 30, we read, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished, paid in full. All the sins of the world have been paid for. If you are here this morning, I want you to know that. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is, all of your sins have been paid for in full. There's only one thing that you need to do. Repent from your sins and turn to Jesus Christ. Ask him to forgive you, and he will forgive you. Your debt has already been paid. Look at verse 6. I have, we read, manifested your name. That is another thing that we need to do. We need to manifest the name of the Lord. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, but you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. See, when you and I go and proclaim and manifest the name of God to mankind, once they hear it, those who hear the word, just like what happened to the apostles, to the disciples, they will keep the word. They will keep the name of the Lord. Manifest. I have manifested your name. Manifested translates from the form verb patanero, which means to reveal, to make known, or to show. That's what it means, manifest. I have manifest. And at the same time, the aorist tense denotes that this was accomplished fact, that Christ had perfectly finished according to the Father's plan. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? God is so faithful. Look with me to verse 8. For I have given to them the words which you have given me. This world, what this world needs is the word of God. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed. When you and I go and speak God's word and give God's word to people, what that's going to cost in people's hearts is to believe. That's what happens here. That's what we see here the Lord is speaking of. It will cost people to react. In John chapter 7, verse 16, we read, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. In John chapter 8, verse 28, we read, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. So we are to go out and proclaim the word of the Lord, the words of the Lord. But again, you know what James 1:22 says? But be doers. Let's go and proclaim God's words. This world needs to hear about God, about Jesus. This world needs Jesus. Let's go to verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. From those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost. None. Everyone that the Father gave to Jesus Christ, none of them was lost. He guarded them. He kept them saved from being destroyed. None of them was lost. That's what it means. He kept his disciples from being destroyed. The question for you and I is, are you keeping those who are near you safe? Are you and I fighting the good battle of faith on behalf of our neighbors? You know, when we speak of our neighbors, what comes to my mind automatically is my neighbor next door. But that is not always the case, and that is true. We should be praying and interceding for our neighbors. But what about the brother and sister next to you? When was the last time you prayed for him or for her? Jesus kept his disciples all the way. He was committed to keep his disciples. What about your son? What about your daughter? What about mom? What about dad? What about your dad? What about this nation? What about our cities? When was the last time you and I pray on behalf of our nation that God will save our people and our nation? What was the last time? You know, a few weeks ago, one brother from our fellowship asked me, Brother Solomon, would you come and pray for my dad? He's at the hospital and he's not doing very good. I think he's dying. So I asked my brother, does he know Jesus? He goes, no. I said, yes, brother. He said, would you come tomorrow? I said, yes, I will. And I praying all evening that evening and all morning the next morning that God will soften the heart of this man. And I arrived to the place. I say hi to the family that was there. And I directed my speech to this man, over 70 years old. His name was Ray. And I said, Ray, do you know that you're living your last hours? He goes, yes. Yes, Solomon. Ray, I want to share something with you. You know that God so loves you, Ray. He sent his son into the world for you, to die for you. Because God loves you so much, Ray. Jesus died for you, Ray. And I'm going to tell you something, Ray. This is your decision, your choice. God gave his son for you so you can come to heaven and live with God in his presence forever and ever. But this is your choice, Ray. But you also, it's your choice. If you want to say no, it's you. Because I'm going to show you what's next if you choose not to say yes to Jesus. Well, there is this lake of fire, Ray. This lake of fire who's awaiting for you. And I explained to him what that looks like and what it looks like and what is going to happen there. And at the end of the presentation of the gospel of grace, he says, Solomon, I want Jesus. I said, that is a smart choice. He accepted the Lord. And you know, after he said, Jesus, come into my heart. I said, you know what, Ray? I mean, this is not fair. He goes, well, why not? I mean, what is it? I said, I've been waiting to meet Jesus for 30 years, and you're just going to go just like that? You know what he said to me? He said, Solomon, I will be waiting for you. And that was the most beautiful day of my life for me. If the Lord opens the door for you to go, go and tell him what the Lord says in his word and let him make that choice. Because you know what? If the Holy Spirit has already been there, you've been praying, God has softened the hearts. And you know what? It's going to happen what is going to happen. And my expectation is that always they will say yes. Yes to Jesus. So the Lord kept them. Except one, the Bible says. Except one. Except the son of perdition that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Judas was that person. He was not of the Lord. He was not of the Lord. He was not part of the church. He was around. He came to the fellowship. He came to the studies and the sermons and times of praise and worship. Servant. He was serving. But he was never part of the church. Verse 14. I have given them your word. You know, this is the second time we read this. I have given them your word. That's how important it is. I have given them your word. And the world has hated them. You know, when the word of God makes an impact on your heart and in my heart, and in other words, when we become born again by the Spirit of the Lord, the world is not going to welcome you any longer. The world is going to hate you. You know why? Because your citizenship is not from this world anymore. Your citizenship is in heaven. You know, as I was meditating on this, you know, my wife and I are kind of making preparations for us to go to Mexico. Why? Because that's what God is calling us to go. So now I'm changing nationalities. You know, same thing with the Lord. You know, the world will hate it, you and I, when we become born again. Because our citizenship, you know what we're doing right now is making preparations. Amen? Not that we're not saved, not that what I'm talking about. We are making preparations to serve the Lord, to abound in the work of the Lord. Why? Because God has chosen to reward you and me for something that he's doing through you and me. Isn't that beautiful? But that's the Lord. God is righteous. Verse 22. Let's look at verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Glory here from the Greek is doxa. And what that means is reputation. You know, I don't know about your reputation before you knew Christ, but mine wasn't so good. Mine wasn't so good. You know, I lived in Santa Ana, California for 3 years when I came to the States. And I was kicked out of every place where I lived. Nobody wanted me around. I have pretty bad reputation, really bad reputation. I was not the kind of guy you want to hang out with. That's just who I was. But now we have reputation. Jesus Christ has given us glory, reputation. We are sons of God now by adoption. We've been adopted as children of God, as sons of God. He has given us honor. That's what this word glory means. He has given us reputation, honor, and renown. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We read in John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right or the power to become children of God. To those who believe in his names. To those who believe in his name. And in other words, believers are those to whom the Son has given glory. Are you a child of God this morning? Then God has given you glory, recognition, reputation, renown. Now you are a child of God. And if you're not this morning we're going to give you an opportunity to be one. Look with me to verse 25. Oh, righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. I have known you. In the beginning was the Word, the Bible says in John chapter 1. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Jesus perfectly knew who the Father was. Praise God. In John chapter 7, verse 29, we read, but I know him, for I am from him. And he, that is the Father, sent me. We read in John chapter 8, verse 55, yet you have not known me. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him. And this is how Jesus knew the Father and keep his word. How do I know that I belong to God? How do I know that I know God? When I keep his word. Or because I keep his word, Jesus said. That's how we know that we know the Father. When we keep his commands, when we keep his word. O righteous Father, we read here in verse 25. O righteous Father, the world has not known you. God is righteous. In everything that he does, God is righteous. Psalms 145, verse 17, we read, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is righteous. In judgments, the Lord is righteous. Psalms 19, verse 9, we read, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The Lord is righteous. And the Lord's word is righteous. Psalms 119, verse 123, we read, my eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. God's word is righteous. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. See, when we teach and preach the word of God, how righteous his ways are, when people hear those truths, they will believe. These have known that you sent me. They will believe. They will know that the Father sent the Son into the world to be the Savior of the world. Follow me to verse 26. Verse 26 says, and I have declared to them your name. Again, I have declared today to them your name. The Lord's mission was to lead lost sinners into a personal relationship with God. We read in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was you. And that was me. Salvation comes only through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need to proclaim that name. Verse 17, chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, verse 3, we read, and this is eternal life, that they may know you. Jesus is speaking to the Father. The only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You see, we need to tell the world that believing in God alone does not save them. Believing in God alone does not save anyone. You need to believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Paid in full. It is finished. John chapter 15, verse 15, we read, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You know, this is a really good opportunity to look into our hearts and search and see what are those things that we have and been receiving from our Father and our intimate time with him and our personal Bible study. What are those things that are impacting my life that I need to share with the lost world? What are those things that God is speaking to me directly that is impacting me in a way that I must share it? What are those truths? I know that all of us are receiving from the Lord. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it. This is the reason why we need to declare the name of the Lord to the world. That the love which which you love me may be in them. This world needs the love of God. You're probably going to agree with me on that one. I know you will. This world, we need to declare the name of the Lord to this world. Shout it like with the song that we sing. Shout it. Speak it from the mountaintops. Tell the world about the Lord. Why? Because God is love. God is love. And what this world needs, it's God. So the love of God can begin to be manifested in people's lives and hearts. Jesus wants to be. He is in us through his Holy Spirit. Jesus is in us, living in us by the way of his Spirit. I don't know what your calling is. It's up to you and the Lord to figure out what that is. But you know what? Let's do it. Go. Go. Maybe you're not going to go to another nation. But there are neighbors near you. Let's tell them. Let's declare the name of the Lord. Let's declare the name of the Lord to our nation. Our nation is perishing. And so is the entire world. Let's speak the name of the Lord. Maybe your ministry for now is changing diapers. What a great place to start. Maybe cleaning the church. What a great place to start. Let's start somewhere. Let's start somewhere. You're probably listening to me this morning. If you're not born again, you're saying, Solomon, how do I begin this morning? I'm going to ask you. And this is what church is all about. This is what we are here in this world. Amen. Jesus came to save the lost, that which was lost. We were left here in this world by Jesus Christ to tell the world how to get saved. And that is, if you repent today, this morning, from your sins, and turn to Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, please forgive me of all of my sins. Cleanse me, purify me. I repent. And when you say those words from your heart, God will receive you right here and right now. And then you will begin that beautiful journey with the Lord. Would you please, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord. And God, I ask, God, that, Lord, you would work in our hearts through your word, Lord. Would you help us to be aware, Lord, of the need that it's in this world for you? Help us, Lord, to go out and speak it and declare it and shout it and tell the world about the love of God, about the name of the Lord, so that your name can be glorified. Help us, Lord, to go and manifest to the world that name which is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to go out and to keep this world the words, Lord, that you have given to us through your word. Help us, Lord, to preach it, to teach it, and to proclaim it. Help us to go out, Lord, into the whole world and make disciples after you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.